You're listening to an anointed message by Matt Sorger, host of TV's Power for Life. We believe that God's Word has the power to change your life. As you listen today, it's our prayer that you pursue Jesus with all of your heart, grow in His anointing, and grab hold of the destiny God has for you. Let's join Matt now for today's message.
How many are ready to become a carrier of the glory of God? See, that's what God's going to commission tonight. He's going to commission us to be carriers of His glory. So, Father, we thank You tonight, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. And, Lord, we just invite You to keep coming tonight, Holy Spirit. We invite You, Lord, to speak Your heart to us tonight, to speak Your word to us tonight. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 How many believe that God has a divine purpose and destiny for each day of our lives? You know, every single day of your life, God has a special purpose for that day. God has a special purpose for that moment. How many believe tonight God has a special purpose for us being together? I mean, out of all the places where we could be around the world, we're here tonight with you. How many think God has a significant reason for that? How many love God's presence?
Oh, yeah.
How many want more?
Yeah.
How many of you tonight want to be so filled with the glory of God that you just can't contain it? You know, you can be. You can be so saturated with the glory of God that He's just overflowing out of your life every day. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. The night is young. Just call in sick to work tomorrow. Acts 13, verse 2 and 3. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. There was something. Tonight we're talking about divine ordination tonight. And commissioning by the hand of God. And here in Acts chapter 13, I want you to see something. It was the Holy Spirit that said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then they laid hands on them and sent them away. Sent them out to do the work that God had called them to do. And I want you to understand tonight, we're kind of following a similar theme to what we were speaking about last night, but we're going to bring it in a little different direction. You see that their call came from God.
Yeah, that's right.
Came from God. The call. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. So I want you to understand something tonight about the purpose that God has for your life. The purpose and plan and destiny, all the good works that God has for you to do, guess where it comes from? It comes from God, not from man. Come on.
Amen.
Comes from God, recognized by man. You understand?
Yeah.
It's different. The call doesn't come from man, but there's a place where man will recognize what God has called you to, what the Spirit of God has called you to. There comes a subsequent recognition from the body. You see, there's a divine Holy Ghost order that God establishes. His order, there's a divine order that God has in the kingdom. When you understand God's order of things, His order doesn't constrain or constrict. His order releases. God's divine order releases. It doesn't constrict you or constrain you, but it actually releases you into what God has called you to be and do. Oh, thank you. I mean, if you want me to preach real subdued tonight, I'll be nice and quiet. But if you want to get me to do some good preaching, I need some of that. And you understand that spiritual authority is given by God, but it's recognized by man. And we see this even in the life of David. We were talking about David last night. And you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where David, in the midst of his brethren, is called out by God and is anointed king in the midst of all of his brothers. And we talked about the anointing that came on David last night, and how God looks at the heart, doesn't look at outward appearance, doesn't judge by what you look like on the outside, but there's something that of a judgment that comes of what's inside the heart, not what's on the external package. Now, some of us can say hallelujah to that one. Thank God Jesus doesn't qualify us by our external packages. Because I've seen some interesting external packages. So here David was anointed king. Now turn over quick to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. And you know the life of David. I mean, what he went through after he was anointed king. Then 2 Samuel chapter 2, you see, there's a place where God separates you, God anoints you, God appoints you to your call, but then there is a time where you actually step into the fulfillment of it. And there's a season in between. You know, there are some people, they have been anointed for something, but they have not yet actually stepped into the operation of that anointing. It's there on them, they're carrying it. But the timing hasn't yet come where the fulfillment of the manifestation of it has come into its fullness. And this is what happened with David. He was anointed as a young boy amidst all of his older brothers. Here, this anointing comes on him. From that moment forward, David carried that anointing. Even though Saul was king, even though, you know, all of his older brothers thought they were what they were. And then here was little David. A nobody. No one paid any attention to him. But here he was carrying this anointing from God. He was called by God. He was appointed by God. He was anointed by God. Right. Not by man. Because if man had his way, David would have been left out in the sheep fields. So 2 Samuel comes along. Now you see the timing of God. David went through all of his tests. Went through all of the persecutions. Went through everything he had to go through. And can I tell you something? God allowed David to go through all that. Have you ever found yourself in a situation and you just think it's unfair? And you say, God, I shouldn't have to go through this. God, I'm a really nice person. I'm really sweet, God. And how come they can't be sweet to me? Don't they know how nice I am? And David, I'm sure, was a real nice guy. Ruddy complexion out there singing love songs to Jesus. I'm sure he was a real nice guy. And poor little David's getting picked on by his older brothers. And David had to walk through all those things he walked through, and God allowed it. Now this is something we have to learn about the workings of God. Yeah, sometimes God will allow us to walk through things.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes we want to be delivered out of difficult situations. But sometimes it's God's will for us to walk through those situations. Sometimes we just want them done with and over. And meanwhile, God is saying, no, 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 no. My timing for you is that you walk through this.
Yeah, right.
You see, God doesn't always deliver us out of. Sometimes He delivers us through a situation. As we walk through it, He's delivering us through it. You know, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I mean, sometimes you got to walk through the valley. Jesus is there with you, but sometimes you got to walk through it. But how many can say, thank God there's an end to it? Thank God there is an opening on the other side. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I could see it in the distance. And that's what David walked through, went through all of his testings. God tested his heart, tested his faithfulness, tested his character, tested his integrity, tested all of those great things that all of us just love to be tested on. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, because it's working perseverance. Oh, how many love perseverance here? It's working perseverance. It's working patience. It's working character in you. Character. It's making you a better person. So that you can be more like Jesus. But really, God lets you walk through all of that. Because sometimes, you know what? Sometimes God is actually more interested in the process than he is in the destination. And God has a purpose even in the midst of the process. But David walks through all that, and there comes an appointed time. In 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. So now, David was already anointed years ago as a young boy. But now, as time goes by, the men come. The men of the land come to David and anoint David. You see, the anointing, the call, it all came from God. God sent the prophet to prophesy over David, to release the anointing oil over him. But then at the right time, God had the men of the land come around David and say, David, this is the time. And the men anointed David, king over the house of Judah. So now here, David actually begins to step into the fulfillment of that anointing. Starts to step into the manifestation of that anointing. And sometimes you just have to be patient as you're walking through all the other stuff before you actually step into the manifestation of that anointing on your life. But if you will stay faithful, God will be faithful to bring you to that place.
Right.
And here, David now is anointed king of Judah. But then turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 5. You see, because there's a place in our journey in God and our journey in God's purposes for our lives where we step from level to level to level to level. And I believe that every time there's that season of transition, there's a invitation for us to step up to the next level in God. There's another level of power. There's another level of his anointing. There's another level of his glory that we can carry, move, and operate in our lives. I mean, some people, they get saved. They're saved from, you know, the fires of hell. And they're satisfied with that. And they camp out right at salvation.
Yeah.
And they say, hallelujah, I'm saved. And they live the rest of their life as a carnal Christian, powerless with no anointing. Some people get satisfied at that level, not realizing that they can keep going higher. And then some people get filled with the Holy Ghost and they speak a few Shabbat words, you know, in tongues. And they say, hey, we got the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And they think that's it. They've arrived. And they camp out right there with a few words in tongues. And then there are those that say, I don't want just a few words in tongues. I want to see the dead being raised. I want to see the sick being healed. I want to see demons screaming out when the presence of Jesus on my life encounters them. And they keep going higher and higher. Well, here David comes up to another place in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3. It says, therefore all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. So here, there's a second anointing now that comes on David. First it was for Judah. Now, there's an expansion of his territory to cover the whole nation of Israel. And you see, there's an increase, there's a level of authority that increases, there's a level of influence that increases. And I believe that God can continually give us an increase of an influence in the Spirit, an increase of platform, an increase of the impact that we have on the world around us. Now I believe that maybe there's just one person here tonight that could see all of New England shaken with the power of God.
Right. yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
That could walk into a Walmart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of the religious institution. Outside of the nice steeples and chapels and pews, into a Walmart and see the glory of God invade the store. Where your influence isn't just over maybe one person or two people, but maybe God will give you spiritual influence over a whole region, over a whole city, maybe the whole East Coast. You know what I'm claiming? I'm claiming from the tip of Maine all the way down to the tip of Florida, the whole East Coast, to be set ablaze with the fire of God. And I tell you, it's the same in the New Testament. You see it in the life of David in the Old Testament. Increases of authority, increases of influence, increases of the territory that God gave him to impact. And you see it in the New Testament. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, this is where Saul is called by God. In Acts chapter 9, you know Saul persecuting the church. Church was terrified of him. You see, this is where you see that God really is sovereign in who he chooses. And God really is sovereign in who he calls and who he ordains. And here in verse 20 it says, after Saul had this encounter with God, was knocked to the ground, the Lord spoke to him. Verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength. You see, Saul increased. There was a calling that came, an anointing God gave him. He started to preach the gospel, and he increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. How many tonight you want to continually increase in supernatural strength to preach the gospel, to see more people reached with the power of God? And Saul was called by God. In Acts 9, we see it. And then look over in verse 26. It says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. So eventually, the anointing that was on Saul became recognized by man. But that anointing was not originally given to him by man, because people were running in the opposite direction from him. Have people ever run in the opposite direction from you? When you come walking in, oh no, it's her, it's him, run! They were running the opposite direction from him. But eventually, that increase of God's anointing on his life caused them to see the anointing that was there. And as we've been talking about this whole issue of spiritual authority, and where spiritual authority comes from, and what true spiritual authority is, you see, I mean, you look at the life of Paul, and Paul is such an example of true spiritual authority. And when you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, this is what Paul says. Listen, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Paul, an apostle of Jesus, by the will of who?
God.
By the will of God. By the will of God. You see, callings and anointings are not political in nature.
Thank you.
I mean, there's a lot of politics in the church.
Amen.
I don't touch church politics.
Amen.
You rub my back, I rub your back. You know, you do something for me, I'll do something for you. I mean, it's filled with it. Church politics. But your calling and your anointing and ordination doesn't come from a person. It comes from God Himself. You see, and there's lots of people, they're looking for man's approval. Come on. Looking for man's acceptance. You know? Looking for people to like us. And it's true, everyone likes to be liked, right? We all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. We don't want someone not to like us. I think it's probably in everyone. But I want you to know something tonight, that as long as we have God's ordination, He'll take care of everything else. As long as you have God's stamp of approval on you, God will take care of everything else. And when you need the favor of man, it'll be there. When Jesus needed the favor of man, it was there. But remember, even Jesus knew man's hearts. And He knew that at any moment they could turn against Him. And really, that's the human heart. People can say, oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. And then the next day, you know, they want to crucify you. Turn over to Galatians 1. Galatians 1, verse 1. Again, Paul is talking about himself. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man. I mean, how much clearer can you get right there? And Paul even had the audacity to call himself an apostle. I mean, you call yourself an apostle or a prophet today, and it's like, who do you think you are?
Presumption.
Now, I know that the fivefold, you know, it's function, it's not title. You understand that? That the fivefold, it's a function, it's not just a title. And there are people that just like the title. They just like the title bishop. Just call me bishop. I mean, they like the titles. And there's lots of them. But I mean, if you have the function, fine, wear the title, but you better have the function. Because really, it's a function. Pastor, I mean, we use pastor as title, pastor so-and-so. You know, but pastor is not a title. It's a function of the gift. Just like teacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle, all of them. I don't label myself anything. Because I believe sometimes you can box yourself in. And sometimes maybe God has several things that He flows you in and out of. Gift mixes and blends. So I, you know, anytime anyone tries to put a little thing on me, I just say, hey, get me out of the box. And sometimes you function in different ways in different places at different times. So you got to kind of flow in and out of that. But here, Paul, from man, not through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. From God. Now look here in verse 10 what it says. Even Paul had to deal with this. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If I lived my life to please other people, if I lived my life always worrying about what other people thought, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Jesus. Because I'd be so worried about what everyone else thought. And he didn't live to please man. You can't live your life to please other people.
Amen. That's true.
Because unfortunately, you can't please everyone. If you try to please everyone, you will burn yourself out. If you try to be everything to everyone, you'll burn yourself out. And there are people that try to be everything to everyone. They try to wear all these different hats, and they end up burning themselves out. You have to be who God made you to be. And then let Him refine you where you need to be refined, but just be who God made you to be. And live to please God. Live your life to bring glory to God. Live your life to please God. And that's what Jesus did. He lived His life. It says in John 8. Turn with me real quick. John 8, verse 29. Jesus lived His life. Not to please people. You see, Jesus had a mission. Jesus had a purpose. And when you have a purpose and you have a mission, you're not trying to just make everyone feel good or just trying to make everyone like you. Because if Jesus came to win a popularity contest, He would have failed miserably. He didn't come to win a popularity contest. And you can't live your life like that. Always wondering what people are going to think. Wondering if people are going to like you. Just be who God has made you to be. Amen. When you look at yourself in the mirror, say, thank you, Jesus. for who I am. Thank you, Lord, for everything about me, even the things you don't like about yourself. Thank Him for it. John 8, 29. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. I always do those things that please Him. You see, Jesus, He didn't seek to please man. He sought only to please God, His Father. And that's how you have to be, especially when you're called by God. Especially when God puts an anointing on you. I mean, I'll tell you from experience. When you move in an anointing where the Spirit of God is moving and the power of God is touching people, and you go into a service and all of a sudden people all around the room start falling out under the power of God and people start getting healed, and sometimes there are strange manifestations that happen. If I worry about what every single person is going to think, you know what that'll do to me? That'll constrain me. That'll box me up, and it won't allow me to flow in what God, in the anointing God has put in me. That's why I choose to associate with people who are free in the Spirit. And if they're not free in the Spirit, then I won't get too close. But you see, sometimes God sneaks in. You see, I think God has given me a package where I can sneak in on some places. Oh, he looks normal. I've had pastors say that to me. As the power of God starts to move and bodies are flying all over the place, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's happening to my church? What's happening to my associate pastor? What's happening to my deacons? Why are they all shaking on the floor? And the pastor's like, this has never happened in our church before. And I just sit there and smile. And then they come up to me afterwards and they say, Matt, it's really real. All this Holy Spirit stuff is real. And you know, you just look so normal. You look normal. I mean, you're tall, you have nice blonde hair, you just look real normal. And they don't know that I'm going in there putting Holy Ghost bombs underneath all the chairs. But I tell you tonight, you are called and ordained to be a carrier of the glory of God. Come on, anyone here want to carry more of the glory? Yeah. Carriers of the fire of God. Yeah. Oh, I tell you, we were just a few months ago, we were over in England and Wales during the 100-year anniversary of the Welsh Revival. Yeah. We had such a blast. Yeah. It was such an awesome time. We were in England before we went to Wales. And I tell you, there were things that happened in those meetings in England that I have never seen before or since. With the fire of God. We went into this one church and we were doing services there. And I can remember we were with my parents and our team and with the pastor before the service in a restaurant eating dinner. And I'm sitting there at the table and all of a sudden my whole body starts to get really hot. And I'm opening up my shirt and I'm like, whoa, it's hot in this restaurant. What is this? And I'm looking at everyone. They're all sitting there nice and cool. And I'm like, I know I'm not having hot flashes. Like, what is this? And they're all nice and cool as cucumbers. Feeling nice and relaxed, and I'm burning up. And I'm like, what is this? I'm too young.
That's what I said.
This was like a half hour before the church service started. And we got into the church, and we're worshiping God, and I'm still feeling really hot. I think I'm getting even hotter now by this point. And I go to preach. I had a nice message on healing prepared that night. And I go to preach, and the Holy Spirit constrains me. And he does not allow me to open up my mouth or preach. Now, when you're a preacher and you have hundreds of people standing, staring at you from a congregation waiting for you to open up your mouth and say something, and you're standing there and you can't get a word out, let me know. That's kind of an uncomfortable situation. I'm telling you, I'm standing there in this church. My parents will testify. The fire of God hit that entire congregation. People started pulling their shirts like this. They started burning with the fire of God. Everyone's body temperature raised about 20 degrees. I don't know, that might be an evangelistic stretch, but you know what I'm saying. They were hot. It was the fire of God. Now listen, that morning, we were in the service. And the power of God came into that meeting. And I'm standing on the front row of the rows there. I'm standing here. My mom is standing there next to me on my left, a little bit up to the front. And I start to feel this heat coming from the left side of my body. I said, what is that? And I reached out my hand into it. And there was a pillar of fire standing right next to me. And as my hand went into it, now this is the truth. The air temperature rose about 20 degrees. As my hand went into this area standing right behind my mom, it was literally emanating heat out of it. I pulled my hand out. It would be cool. I'd put my hand in. It would be hot. I'd pull my hand out. It would be cool. I'd put my hand in. It would be hot. And I said, is this real? There was a pillar of fire standing there. And the Lord brought me to Isaiah chapter 6. And he started to speak to me about the fire of God, about these burning seraphim angels. You know what the seraphim angels are? They're burning, fiery, angelic beings that hover over the throne of God with three sets of wings. Two, they cover their eyes. Two, they cover their body. And with two, they fly. And they're crying out day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And they're prophesying. Night and day, right now, over the throne of God, the seraphim angel are crying out to one another, holy, holy, holy. They're proclaiming the holiness of God, and they're decreeing the whole earth covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And all we have to do is come into agreement with that heavenly worship and pull the glory that's up in heaven around the throne right now, pull it down right into the earth. Amen. Just by simple agreement. By coming into agreement with the holiness of God, by coming into agreement with the heavenly worship, we come into agreement with what the angels in heaven are decreeing right now of the glory of God covering the earth. We start to decree it here on the earth, and the glory of God comes from that realm into this realm and starts to cover over the church and over the world. Turn with me quick to Isaiah chapter 6. You see, because we are called to be carriers of His glory. And when you are called to be a carrier of the glory, you know what that is? You become a carrier of the flame of God. You become a carrier of that fire of the Holy Spirit. And as Isaiah came into this encounter of seeing the Lord high and lifted up and seeing the angels, the seraphim angels. And that day, I believe that the Lord sent a burning fiery angel into that meeting to release His fire upon the church. And as He came into this encounter with the fire of God in verse 5, He said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you, when you truly see God, you are completely undone. When you truly see the King, the Lord of glory, you are undone in that place of His fire, in that place of His presence. And He became so aware of His uncleanness in the presence of such holiness. There was such a contrast. But how many are thankful that when God shows us our uncleanness, He doesn't leave us there? That when we come into an encounter with the glory of God, And things in our heart become exposed in that place, because they can't stay hidden when the light is on. And those things come out. God doesn't leave us in that condition. But here, it says in verse 6, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And you see, when the fire of God comes to encounter you, there is a commissioning that comes out of that encounter. You see, I believe in encountering God. I believe that our theology is not just mental, but I believe our theology is experiential. I believe the Word of God is here, not just so that we can have right doctrine and right theology and have understanding in our minds of truth, but I believe God wants us to experience the living Word. Yes. It's living. Yes. It's living. I mean, that doesn't mean we live by our feelings. We live by faith. We know that. And our faith is grounded in the Word. But that doesn't limit God's Word just to being a theological thing in our mind. Because it's a living Word. And I believe with a living Word, there comes encounter. There comes experience. There comes reality to that Word. It's just not a good thought, a good idea, but there's a living reality to that word. And I believe that when we truly encounter the fire of God, like Isaiah encountered the fire of God, there was a purging that took place in his spirit. There was a purging of his soul. There was a purging of his mind. There was a purging of his body. He was purged of all of the awareness of the sin that he carried. And when the fire of God touches you, there is a purging that takes place. And all of the sin that you're aware of becomes burnt up by God's presence. And there comes this holy commissioning on your life. And suddenly his ear was opened and he heard the voice of God speaking in heaven. Who will go for us? Who will I send? And Isaiah at that moment, having encountered the fire of God, was in a place where he could say, God, here I am, send me. God, here I am. I'm a pure vessel. I've been touched by the fire of God. I've been touched by your glory. And I'm ready to go and I'm ready to carry that fire out and ready to be commissioned by you. And I believe there's a commissioning coming to the church right now. I mean, 2,000 years ago, Jesus commissioned the church. There's already been a commissioning. But I believe with each generation, there needs to be an awareness in our own hearts of that commissioning. Because, I mean, we hear preaching on the Great Commission all the time. You know, churches have great mission conventions, you know, and you hear the Great Commission preached that one Sunday out of the whole year. And you're like looking at your watch, okay, when is this message going to be over? The Great Commission, I know, bring the gospel to all the nations of the world. And it's just like a thing we hear. But is there a living reality that grips our hearts that says, yes, we are burning with the fire of God and we are commissioned by the hand of God. We've heard the voice of God and we're going to be carriers of His glory. Is there something in you tonight that grips you like that? You see, because it gripped Isaiah. It gripped him. His ear was open and he heard. And he realized, I've been called to be a vessel that'll carry the fire. That'll carry the anointing. 2 weeks ago, we were in New Mexico talking about another encounter that I have never seen in my life. Has God ever done something that your natural mind just doesn't compute? We were in New Mexico, and the Lord in this particular service was releasing an anointing, a runner anointing, to run with the gospel, to carry the gospel. And I can remember the altars were filled with people, and we were releasing this runner anointing, this evangelistic anointing, with power and signs and wonders. And the power of God is touching people. And after the service is over, this woman comes running in to the conference meeting. She comes running up to me. And she's screaming, look what happened, look what happened. She put her head over and she said, I went back to my hotel room after the meeting and I was brushing my teeth, getting ready for the next meeting. And I looked in my hair and I noticed, I thought there was makeup in my hair. So I brushed my hair in the mirror and a whole clump of my hair fell out into the sink. And I looked closer and I realized that in a little circle right on the top of my head, the hair had been singed off of my head. And my hair was physically burnt.
Oh my word.
She hadn't used a curling iron. Nothing. She came back from that meeting. Now, she said, Matt, while I was standing out in the altar and you were releasing that anointing, I saw like a blue light, like a lightning bolt come from behind your head. It hit me right in the top of my head, went through my body like a volt of electricity. This anointing came into me, and I went back to my hotel room, and where the lightning of God struck my head, it physically singed the hair off of my head. Physically singed her hair off her head. I mean, some of us, we just need the hair that we got. We don't need it singed, but hey, if God wants to singe you, let Him singe you. But you see, it's the lightnings of God that's being released in this hour. It's a sign and a wonder. Why did God do that? Why did God do that? It was a prophetic sign saying that He's releasing His power to commission His people to run with the gospel. Turn over to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. Now this is a scripture for this church. Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's that good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Church, it's time to arise and shine. It's time to let our light be seen like a city on a hill for all to see, to bring glory to God. God hasn't called us to be hidden under a bushel. God's called us to shine. To shine for Jesus. That's why I think you're out of the cave. You see, I believe that you've stepped into that place like David, where he became king of Judah. There was an anointing that came on him. I feel like spiritually, that's what you're coming into, that next season, that next phase of God's destiny for you. This is ordination night. It's commissioning night. Commissioning with signs and wonders and miracles. Do you believe that you can lay your hands on the sick and see them healed?
Yes. Amen.
Do you believe you can really carry the glory of God? I mean, how do you translate this from a good church service out to your real life? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, here we are, we're talking about it, it's great in church, but how do you actually take it from here to your normal life? Because that's where we want it, right?
Right?
We don't want it just in a good church service. When we get all excited, we hear something preached. But we want it to be real.
Yeah.
We want to really carry it. And you can. You really can. Mark 16. And I'm going to show you how. Mark 16. Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Sometimes you just got to step out of the boat and do it. They went and they preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. If you don't do anything, you're not giving God anything to work with. If you want a great miracle ministry and you're not even praying for one sick person, how will you think you're going to have a miracle ministry? If Jesus said to them, you'll go and preach the gospel and lay hands on the sick and see them healed. If they just sat there and said, oh, praise God, we're going to see people healed, and they never even prayed for anyone, how would Jesus have anything to work with? He worked with them. But God, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel holy enough. I don't feel spiritual enough. I don't pray 10 hours a day. God, how are you going to use me if I don't pray 10 hours a day? Well, guess what? God can still use you. I mean, it won't hurt to pray 10 hours a day.
Amen.
And if God calls you to pray 10 hours a day, do it. But just because you don't pray 10 hours a day doesn't mean you can't ever pray for anyone. Because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And who's on the inside of you when you get saved? Who is there? Who's in you when you get saved? The Holy Spirit. He's there. You just got to let him out. Sometimes you just got to open him up and let him out. And realize that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts of grace.
Amen.
Not gifts of works. Not gifts of you earning it. That's why you can see someone saved for 1 week and all of a sudden they're seeing visions and they're prophesying and they're moving in the Spirit. I've seen it. Brand new baby Christians moving in the power of God, moving in the anointing of God. Yet, you know, their character's not perfected. You know, their integrity's not perfected. But yet God's using them because they have a childlike faith and they realize it's not based on their works. It's based on grace that God uses any of us. I mean, God wants us to have character and integrity. And it'll work on you to make sure you get a character and integrity. But don't wait till you're perfect before you let God use you. Don't wait till you feel like you've earned it enough before you let the Holy Spirit out to touch someone else. Don't wait till you've perfected your prayer life before you ever step out to minister the power of God to someone else. Well, how many tonight you want to carry more of the glory of God in your life? Thank you, Father. Father, we just close in a prayer, Father, tonight. Lord, that you would release more of your glory in our lives. Father, that we would learn how to release your glory into the lives of others. Father, that we would so be filled with your Spirit on a daily basis. So be filled with the glory of God that our lives would overflow to touch and change the lives of those around us. And Father, tonight I pray, just touch each one right now with your glory. Touch each one with your glory, Father. Father, let your glory fill in a fresh way each one that's here tonight. Each one that's here tonight.
We trust you've enjoyed this uplifting and powerful message by Matt Sorger. Matt Sorger Ministries has a wide range of CD and DVD resource material available on our website. When you visit us online, you'll find anointed teaching, timely messages, and prophetic insights from Matt Sorger. All at mattsorger.com.